Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's special today because it's the first trading day of the month of March. We're going to take a look back at February as well.
Yes, that means it's the DKR today, the David Kuo Review.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that is what it's called. David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor, helps us out as always. But first, let's talk highlights. What stood out for you in February? You learned some lessons.
Oh, yes, I did.
Sorry to bring this.
Okay, it might surprise you, but my highlight was getting bitten by a dog. It has never happened to me before, but it taught me a good lesson. So when a friend lovingly says to you, don't get too close, then don't get too close.
So it works for humans as well, I heard.
It reminds me of a story, Manisha, It reminds me of a story about a guy who goes into a pub in the UK, right?
Okay.
And there is this other guy at the bar, and he sort of sat there with a dog by his side. And the first man says to the other guy, does your dog bite? And the other guy says, no, my dog doesn't bite. So he goes down and strokes the dog. The dog bites him, right? And the guy said, I thought you said your dog doesn't bite. He goes, that's not my dog.
I feel we should have had whiskey while you're telling that joke. highlight for me, Bruno Fernandes. Manchester United has changed the team. Your Chelsea's doing pretty okay as well.
They're not doing that badly, yeah, but we should have beaten Bournemouth at the last outing.
It's all right. Ryan, what was your highlight?
Yeah, my highlight was a bit of a low light. It was Liverpool finally losing a game, breaking their unbeaten run. I'm a bit sad because I was hoping for them to keep a clean sheet in that sense.
Arsenal fans breathing a huge sigh of relief.
Yes.
So maybe a chance intact for the rest to catch up now. There is now a 22-point lead.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Come on, right? But Ryan, you're going to take us through some of the winners and the losers for February.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to take a look at what happened last month in the stock markets. And in Singapore, just like many other markets, we had a pretty bad month. And for STI, it was down by 5% for February. So now at 3,011 points, the lowest in more than a year. Taking a look at the rest of the region, Japan and Australia down by over 10%, Korea down by 9%, Hong Kong down by 4.3%, and just for context, S&P 500 down by around 10% as well. So rather bad month. And we take a look at some of the top losers first, David. Right at the top, we have Sembcorp Industries, down by over 12%. What does this reflect for you?
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, the first one is that the energy sector within Sembcorp Industries isn't doing that great. And, of course, it's got that investment in Sembcorp Marine also. Mm. And the marine side is not doing that well. So when you have a look at the totality of Sembcorp Industries, I would say I think the 12% fall in Sembcorp Industries in February was kind of justified. Mm. But I would just like to pick up one thing, Ryan. I mean, you were talking about all of these markets. But I think ultimately what you have to remember is that many of these markets, well, were very expensive. And they were due for some kind of correction. Mm. So when you have a look at the U.S., previously, I mean, it was hovering around 20 times earnings. You were paying $20 for every dollar of profit that these companies were making. So, I mean, that for me strikes me as being expensive, and a correction was somehow due. Mm. And maybe it was just the coronavirus that came along that gave them that excuse to try and sell off a little. But ultimately, I think that is probably why. And when you have a look at the Singapore market, I know I'm jumping the gun slightly, but I mean, there were only four companies that made gains in the whole of February. Mm. 26 of them were in the red. And that to me tells me that, I don't know, it could be a buying opportunity. When you see that kind of capitulation, you just think, anyway, going back to what you were doing about the review.
So COVID-19 may be an excuse to take profit. Second on the list was SET, down by over 10%. But what's interesting is the number 3, 4 and 5. Mapletree Commercial Trust, down by nearly 10%. CapitaLand Commercial Trust, down by nearly 9%. And CapitaLand Mall Trust, down by over 8%. So you are looking at property companies being hit in February.
Yeah, and that doesn't make any sense to me because when you listen about what is going on with central banks, it is quite likely that Australia will cut interest rates and then Bank Negara may cut interest rates. Then, of course, you have the Fed, who is under so much pressure from you-know-who to cut interest rates. And so consequently, when interest rates are down, where are you going to get a return on your investment if you are somebody who is looking for some kind of yield on your investments? So it doesn't make an awful lot of sense why those REITs were sold off as much as they were. But having said that, I think what the landlords. I mean, ultimately, that's what a REIT is. They're a landlord. And they are trying to, in some ways, ease the pain for their tenants. And they're trying to give some kind of rebates. They're trying to sort of extend the periods when they can repay the rent. And I think that could ultimately, in the short term, affect their cash flow. So I think that is probably why the market was taking fright a little in selling the REITs. But as far as I'm concerned, I just see that as a good opportunity to go and buy more.
So David, you talk about a good time to go into the markets right now. If I look at the stocks right now, property, COVID-19, SATS, yeah. SIA, the unknown potential for this to drag on is pretty much unknown. You don't know when or how much more it can get hit. So is this really a good time to get in and pick up stuff now?
I mean, you raise a very interesting point about, you know, what do we know about the coronavirus? And the answer is we know very little. And what kind of news that is coming out, you know, from various countries is that they know very little as well. And that is a problem that investors have because they don't have any information on which to build their investments on, their investment theses. But the problem with the coronavirus, Ryan, is that how much do you want to know? I mean, what do you want to know? You can sit back and say, okay, I want to know more before I go into the market. Well, the moment you know a lot, everybody else will know a lot, and then the prices will go up because they'll be able to factor that in. The only thing I want to know is, do I think that stock prices are going to be higher in 10 years' time compared to today? And I think the answer to that question is probably 100% certain that stock prices are going to be higher in 10 years' time. Mm. So if you are an investor looking at the long term, then, of course, you should be buying now. And will the stock market fall again today and tomorrow and the day after? They might very well do. But if you are an investor that is constantly adding money to the market, then that is what you should be focusing on. Now, it may come as a surprise to you, but I am 60 years old, right? So if I'm, yes, I know, Ryan, you know, it's hard to believe. I
mean, you look jaw-dropping. Only 60?
I tone my skin quite regularly, yeah. Okay, so if I am prepared to look, you know, until I am 70 years of age, somebody young like you, you know, and Manisha and also Elliot, you should be putting money in because you've got a much longer time horizon than I have. Not that I'm saying that I'm going after 70, but, you know, I will be carrying on for a long time. So if an older person can look forward to the long term, so should youngsters. Definitely youngsters.
All right, just to wrap things up, David. Biggest risers for the month of February, we've got Wilmer International up by 3.1%, SC Engineering up by 3%, and Venture Corp up by 2.7%. So I'm just going to pick up on Venture Corp. Despite all the worries around manufacturing, we are seeing a manufacturer in the green.
Yeah, I know. And it is a little surprising, but if you listen to what the management said, they said that there will be some kind of supply chain disruptions, but they are actually looking forward, and they don't think the supply chain disruptions will be as bad as people think. So when you hear something like that from a manufacturer such as Venture, and they also believe that there will be new products coming online, you've got to look to the future rather than to look at the present. Yeah, we can't invest looking in the rearview mirror all the time. Mm.
But the headlines really out of last week was all about COVID-19, the coronavirus, US President Donald Trump. We watched that press conference, Manisha. He tried to calm the markets, blew up in his face, and now Mike Pence is saying that the markets are overreacting.
Yeah. David, what do you think of this? Do you agree?
I think there is a certain amount of overreaction, but I think at the same time, investors and just people in general need the truth, right? They don't want, you know, to be flannelled in any way. And what seems to be happening is that many of the governments around the world, with Singapore being a huge exception, they're not telling people the truth. They are trying to somehow soft soap people by telling them that, oh, nothing's going to happen. Look at the press conference from the White House. I mean, to actually tell people that this is not a big deal when people are very worried about what is going on. Mm-hmm. And when you can't believe the data that is coming out, and you get Mike Pence telling you it's no worse than a flu, right? But the point is, the number of people that are dying as a result of this is a lot worse than the flu. I mean, I've had the flu, but I certainly don't want to catch this, right?
Yeah.
I think this is the issue. You want, on the one hand, to calm people down, but on the other hand, they also need the truth in order to make decisions for themselves. And if they can't do that, then, of course, they will panic.
There's something I'm finding a little bit mind-boggling is, you know, investors from all over the world, they get news and information streams constantly on their phones, right? They carry them around.
Yeah.
For 2 months, we have been at the edge of COVID-19 right. over here in Asia.
Yeah.
How is it that there was so much complacency? How is it that only now, in the last week, we've seen this massive sell-off? Loaded question.
That is a really tough question to answer. And it is, again, going back to what I was saying earlier on. People were not being told the truth about what was going on. So when you don't have the truth, well, what do you do? Some people will rely on the news that is coming out, either from their news feeds or from friends. When you get that kind of information, it is very difficult to make an intelligent choice about what to do. And as far as the coronavirus is concerned, what we have is we now know that supply chains will be disrupted. We do know that, you know, people in certain parts of the world are not going to work. So therefore, it is going to affect somehow productions around the world. And still, I think people are trying to figure out what exactly is happening. How will this affect me in some ways? Will I have a job to go to? Mm. And then we get news about, oh, there's going to be a possible cut in interest rates.
Sure.
And then I, as an investor, look at this and go, okay, so the Fed cuts interest rates. How is that going to affect me?
Yeah.
Right? I don't want a cut in interest rates. I want a vaccine, right? I mean, the Federal Reserve cannot give me a vaccine. They give me a cut in interest rates. But is that going to change my life in any way? So is a cut in interest rates going to get, you know, family sort of say, hey, guess what? The Fed just cut interest rates. Let's go out and have sushi today, right? It's not going to happen. So therefore, I mean, people just want the truth. And no matter how unpalatable the truth is, you have to tell them what is going on so that they can make intelligent choices themselves. Now, I've informed you that my thesis is, do I think stock prices going to be higher in 10 years' time compared to today? And I think the answer is 100% sure it is going to be. So therefore, I will buy. Will stock prices fall today or tomorrow? Possibly. But is that going to affect the way that I invest? No, because I am a long-term investor. So when stock prices are high, I buy less. When stock prices are low, I buy more. I just think of investing in those terms. Mm. So if you think like that, then I think you will be okay. But as far as the information is concerned, governments need to give people the right information and not try to, for want of a better word, lie to them about what is going on. People know when you are lying and they will punish you if you lie.
Yeah, and then you have countries that are releasing their various budget stimulus packages. It can only go so far. We can't help but turn our attention to China because they had pretty bad PMI numbers over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing contracted sharply in February, PMI plunging 35.7. That's the lowest level on record from 50 in January. David, what are you expecting out of the Chinese economy? Can we expect anything from them for at least the next half year?
Well, I think there's a number of things that the Chinese government can do. The first one that you pointed to, you know, quite rightly, is fiscal policies.
Sure.
So that will mean that the Chinese government needs to put their hands in their pockets and say, right, if manufacturing is not doing that well, the government has to step in. That is what governments are there for. Mm. So the government will have to say, right, we're going to be building more roads, we'll be building more railway stations, we'll be pushing forward with the Belt and Road Initiative, and we have the courage to do that. And I think that will give people some kind of confidence. But I think what has really happened, people have become too complacent. We have learned to believe that everything is going to be okay. And so therefore, many of the manufacturers have run inventory levels to a very low level, believing that just in time will always be there, right? Mm. So if I need some nuts and bolts, well, if I order today, it'll be there just in time for me to assemble whatever I need to do. So they've been cutting down on inventory, and now they're actually using up that inventory, and they don't know when they're going to be able to replenish that inventory. And part of that reason is our fault, because we want things cheaper and cheaper. Mm. So we're putting pressure on manufacturers to say, you've got to cut costs. Manufacturers have said, well, the only way we can cut costs is to move production to China, where the labor costs are lower.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we are caught in this trap at the moment where we want everything, and yet at the same time, we're not prepared to pay for it. So maybe what will happen is that manufacturers will have to start thinking and say, we can't put all our eggs into one basket. We can't just rely on China to keep on coming up with the stuff that we need. We have to move our production around the world so that we don't get caught out by something like the coronavirus again. And I think we will get caught out at some point, because human nature being what it is, we just become complacent. Yeah, Elliot? Yeah. I mean, we just become complacent.
You become complacent, you get bitten by a dog, which is what happened to me. And I was just thinking, so one of the big words that's coming out in a lot of headlines is diversification.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're saying. I want to move on because I want to talk about Malaysia. This has just been such a massive story, of course. The market falling 1.5% on Friday, and now we know new Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin appointed yesterday morning. So what's your read on Malaysian markets at the moment? What do investors have to take away from this?
Okay. Now, when I have a look at companies that have been operating in Malaysia ever since they gained independence over 60 years ago, they have done well. So companies are more than capable of handling whatever the political landscape is in Malaysia. So when you have a look at companies like Nestle's, FNN, when you have a look at the banks, whether it's Public Bank or Maybank, whether you have a look at companies like Westports, they do well regardless of who is in power. And that ultimately is what investors should be focusing on. Yes, the political story is interesting and it is going to make headlines. But ultimately, I as an investor look at a company and say, how do you cope in Malaysia over the last, say 50 or 60 years? If you've done well, then I think you will do well for the next 50 or 60 years. And really, when you have a look at Malaysia, the standard of living is rising. So it therefore means that people will have more money in their pockets, regardless of who is in power. And if people have more money in their pockets, as being consumers, they will spend the money. So I'm very focused on those type of companies. In other words, the companies that are interested in what the consumers are wanting to buy all the time. So the likes of Nestle's, the likes of FNN, some of the brewery companies in Malaysia, they will continue to do well regardless of who is the Prime Minister.
We've been speaking this morning with David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. David, thanks for your time today. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you so much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.